B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Kelker and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's better than last year. Yeah, we grinded it out. It was tough. They made every play tough tonight. I give them a lot of credit. Coach Phillips, all those players, they played really well on defense. Fortunately, our defense really played the best game they have all season, and it was just an incredible win.
Brady in the postgame, hour number three of the program here, 4:06 in the evening. Felger and Maz back in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Day after the Patriots claim another Super Bowl championship. I have a giveaway coming up this segment, but as promised, got to zip through these phones. You've all been waiting patiently. We want to hear your reaction. Keith in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, I got two things. First, did the angle of the game on TV look different than usual?
Okay, what's two?
Two, what did the Rams do all week, 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl? Because there was no wrinkles. McVay never pulled out any sneaky trick play that he's supposed to be famous for, or nothing.
Agree. No adjustment, no trick play. Maz even raised another one.
It tells you this one blew me away.
Well, go ahead.
Well, so after the game, you know, McVay said that, yeah, you know, they played a lot of zone. We hadn't seen a lot of that, or they hadn't done a lot of that all year long, and we didn't expect that. And I thought to myself, what? Like, how do you not sit there and you're prepped for the game and say, okay, here's what we're going to do. They're going to probably play man, but if they don't, because they may try to throw a wrinkle, you didn't even anticipate that they might play zone?
Insane.
You didn't even anticipate it.
Or didn't have a plan.
Right. It didn't even cross your mind, like you'd have some sort of something in your pocket for if they play zone.
Which leads me to believe, but maybe a lot of what's being said about this guy is kind of a crock, because I thought he was like a film nerd and, you know, didn't sleep and made sure he had all angles covered. So for him to say that kind of thing after the game, it's like, I don't know. Are you?
I mean, it's really not that complicated.
No, that's as basic as it gets.
Should they play man or they play zone? You're not ready for both?
Or do you just leave that to, you know, someone else on the staff?
So that was an alarming comment if you're a Rams fan. The TV angle, I have no idea. It looked normal to me.
My one gripe with CBS is I felt like they didn't show enough replays of plays that I wanted to see. But go ahead.
So I would agree with that. They gave me, when the Patriots were lining up for that last field goal, you didn't know whether they were going for it or not. They kept this close-up shot on the Rams sideline. I'm like, would you let me see what the Pats are doing?
Yeah, and there were some like penalties that were called, and they say it was this, and they never showed me a replay so I could see the penalty. Like, there were a handful of those where I thought, can you guys stop with the bull crap and show me a replay?
There was a replay of a penalty I'll get to next segment that I want to talk about. Here's Chuck in Waltham. Hi, Chuck.
I wanted to address the play of Sony Michel and Kyle Van Noy, as well as where the Pats go in the offseason.
Quickly.
Yeah, I'll see you at the parade, Felga.
That's it? That's a waste of your time, man. Here's Dan in Lowell. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, great analysis of yesterday's game, guys. I have a quick comment. Already on a national sports network, they're already giving power rankings for next year's teams, and they already have, I don't know if it's Vegas, whoever has the Chiefs favored to win the Super Bowl, 6-1 the odds.
Yep.
I think it's too early for that already, day after the game. My question for you, you already rated, in your opinion, with yesterday's team ranked in the six winning teams that Brady had at the Super Bowl?
Yes.
On paper, the teams, their records, where would you rank all nine teams?
Nine teams? Okay, look, I think the top three are 03, 04, and 2014. In the order of 04, 03, 2014, those are the top three. The bottom three winners were this one, the one 2 years ago against Atlanta, and 01. Okay? And then the other three that lost, are so many.
I mean, the 07 one's tough because they were so talented.
I hated 07. But they're the best non-winning team, easily. Fine. But I think that team,
11 was the worst.
Yeah, 11 is definitely the worst.
Give me this team any day of the week over 2007. It's not even close. But you know, we just discussed about comparing it. It's like, you know, how do you explain? Because I think the teams in 04 and 03 were pretty clearly superior to your last two championship teams. Okay? This one and the one 2 years ago against Atlanta. I think 2004, 2003 were really superior teams. Clearly, in my opinion. Yet you're still here winning championships. So what does that say? That the league's come down? You've stayed, you know, close to your level, and the league has receded? Because it felt like in that era, the Pats had to work a hell of a lot harder for it than they do now. But, so I don't know. I mean, that I guess that is a commentary on the league. Or maybe your intangibles are just so now through the roof that's, you know, the talent on the field may not be the same or as good, but your mental abilities and the coaching and what it takes and all that has now just, you know, gone so far beyond everything else. Maybe that's what's...
I mean, to me, that's a big part of it. I don't think other teams fight the way the Patriots do. And when I say fight, I'm not just talking about lining up and smashing heads. I'm talking about, like, over the course of the season, continuing to push to try to get better. Because really, this team this year, how else do you explain it? I mean, they get to week 16 of the schedule, and it looked like a lost cause from their standpoint now, right? Because it's Super Bowl or bust. And they were still pushing. A lot of teams have just said, it's not our year. We'll take the, you know, we'll take the wild card weekend. We'll win then, and then we'll lose, and that'll be it.
You know, their intangibles are still through the roof. Their intangibles are as great as they've ever been. Huge part of their team. And by that, I mean smarts, toughness, conditioning, coaching, like anything that's not just pure talent on your roster. All those other things, they're still elite, elite, elite. Charlie in the car. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hey, guys. Quick for my Super Bowl point, hats off to the Bruins for a big win yesterday, just when I thought it was safe to second mortgage the house every time they played the Caps and put an elimination in. But the Sony Michelle score last night, the three passes that led to the goal line, did anyone remember Romo saying on the broadcast, those were the same three plays in a row, just in the second time the formation was flipped to the opposite side of the field? I went back and looked, and yeah, it was the same play three times in a row. And then the last one was the fade to Gronk in the seam.
Right, and Gronk said after the game it was the same call as two plays before, and they went back to it because he felt the coaches saw that he could make the player. He had leverage on that linebacker, so they went back to it. That whole last series, according to Peter King and others, was something the Pats hadn't even worked on all week. And it was an adjustment at the end of the game, the kind of adjustment McVay never made. They went big. They went to two tight ends. They had Devlin on the field, and that brought Rams linebackers onto the field. And then they threw out of that, and they got Gronkowski against linebackers on both the very first play-action play, where Gronk just sort of released off the line. It's a very similar play to like they ran against Kansas City in that play in that game here. Remember in the regular season?
Yeah, it was almost like a wheel route, sort of.
Kind of, where he just comes off the line, and Brady lobs it right over the linebacker. That was the first play. Then they got Edelman against linebackers in the middle of the field, which is like, at that stage of the game, after what Edelman has done to you, you have linebackers out there against Julian Edelman. You've got to be kidding me.
Automatic 13.
And then because they saw the linebacker covering Gronkowski down the field, down the seam, they went back to the same play. And so it was just a simple adjustment. They hadn't done it all game. Two tight ends, Devlin on the field. They went big. They got the Rams to take some of those defensive backs off the field, and then they threw against the linebackers. Something that McVay never did.
I mean, blew me away. Again, I don't know how to explain the fact that they didn't throw to the running backs or the tight end.
And
six targets in the whole game, none at halftime, and three of them were C.J. Anderson in the second half.
And I'm not saying I expect the Rams to do the exact same thing. I'm no, just give me a wrinkle that breaks your tendency, that breaks what you'd been doing all game, or breaks, you know, because at that point you weren't doing donkey do. And so what you're going to keep trying out the same thing. They did. I guess I read 76% of the time they're in that 11 personnel with those three receivers over three quarters of the time, and they couldn't do squat. And so you had nothing there to throw at them at the end to try and something different.
And, you know, and they even lined up with that little bunch formation, whether it was on the left or the right, with the three receivers, with the Patriots were in zone, so guys weren't getting picked or mixed up at the line. And, like, they weren't expecting zone. Like, that one, I just cannot fathom. A team plays man-to-man for the majority of the year, but you don't at any point during 2 weeks before the game stop and say, just in case, if they throw zone at us, here's what we're going to do. You never said that? That never came up from anybody. Unbelievable to me that nobody did that.
Okay, coming back. Game recap. I'll give you a key sequence in the game. Key sequence where the game was won and lost, both sides. And I want to get to what some people are now bringing up about renaming some things, renaming some trophies, renaming some awards. I want to get to all that after these words, right after this.
Duggar and Maz, the Sports Hub. Duggar and Maz.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Honestly, just after what happened last year in the Super Bowl, and I feel like guys are hungry, and I feel like we got humbled. We're not taking things for granted.
We came up short last year, and I think that has stuck with me for
you know, all year, and I know how badly I want to win this one. I think about the opportunity we had and the opportunity that we lost. We all had a chance to do better, and we came up short.
Shotgun snap back to Brady, looking right all the way. He gets rid of it quickly. It's tipped up in the air. It is intercepted!
There was not a missed field goal. 31 of 31. Gostkowski from 46 out. Don't blame the announcer. Gostkowski.
The kick is lifted to the upright, and the kick is good. The Patriots are on the board first. Goff rolling to his right, being chased to the near side. Goff is going to be hit, yeah. And down he goes.
Cash money play by number 53, Kyle Van Noy. Awful decision by Jared Goff.
He's pressured, he's wrapped up, and he's thrown back for a loss. Dante Hightower, Kyle Van Noy, and Adrian Claiborne with a sack at the 35.
Greg Zuerlein got it. Three apiece.
Brady stands and lobs a throw to Gronkowski down to the right sideline. Makes the catch, and he's chopped down by Ebukam. Brady takes the snap, throws to Edelman, makes the catch at the 45, turns left, and then he slides past the 40-yard line. Shotgun snap to Brady, dropping back, lobs a throw. Gronkowski, left side, makes the catch over two defenders, tumbling to the two.
Brady sees it, and it's a 29-yard strike.
Brady under center, gives to Michelle, runs it left, a dive to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. Michelle for six.
That's the offense I know. That's the offense we love. It's fourth quarter and it's money time for the greatest guy to ever suit it up.
Oh, now here. Goff with three to the left. Takes the snap. Harmon on a blitz. Goff throws it to the right. Gilmore's there. Yeah. Intercepted at the four. Harmon forced the pick. And Gilmore comes up with it. His second of the postseason.
What a call.
And possession of the Patriots.
What a call by Brian Flores. Pressure on number 16. You knew the kid was going to crack and he did that.
Tom Brady, about to be a six-time champion, takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title. In the early 2000s, they won three of four. Now they have won three of the last five. Yes, it's still a dynasty.
Six-time world champion. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. And they're still here. And I don't think they're done.
I think we had a lot of resolve the last couple weeks. And I wish we'd have played a little better on offense. But, you know, we won. I can't believe it. It's Super Bowl champs.
Everybody counted us out from the beginning of the season to midseason. But we're still here.
I am honored to say for the sixth time, we are all Patriots. And once again, the Patriots are world champions.
Okay, three things. One, I'll reset the question to you guys. Was this a good game?
Yep.
No.
Was it a good product?
No.
Yep.
Well, no. Well,
okay. Discuss.
So look, when you say good game, competitive game, but I tell you the quality of the product, not good. No, it's not that there wasn't enough offense in the game. The offense was poor. And so to me, that's why I say, you know, was it competitive? Sure. Yeah. Was it? Did I walk away from it? No.
Did you like the game?
The second half, I thought, in particular, the third quarter sucked.
See, I thought it was competitive, compelling. There was a lot of drama. I don't need a lot of points necessarily to be, you know, completely tuned into this thing. Obviously, I'm heavily invested and I want the Patriots to win, but I thought it was an overall good product. I mean, it felt like a roller coaster ride.
I liked it. Yeah, I thought it was competitive. I thought every play mattered. I thought it was competitive. I thought it was drama. I never was able to exhale. And I just liked it. I did. Now, that's not to say it was well executed necessarily. Certainly not offensively.
No, it was a poorly played game on offense by both teams.
But I don't know. I still liked it. Can I just read what you wrote in the email, Maz?
Yeah.
Worst Super Bowl Pats have played in.
Yep, agreed. I'm talking about the Belichick-Brady Super Bowls now. Yeah, the Bears-Patriots game.
Oh, yeah, no.
All right, in 85, yeah. Okay. So go ahead.
That. Worst Super Bowl Pats have played in, not even close. Still gratifying, though, which is how Gronk termed it. Tremendous turnaround, but their offense sucked and the game sucked. You stand by that?
I do.
Okay.
No, to me, it's, you know, the one, we're talking wins, that Patriots-Eagles one in Jacksonville. And I know that that was a close game. It was only 3 points.
I thought that game was nothing.
So this is the only one that I had even put in the same breath as this one.
This one was better than the Eagles game.
I don't know about that.
That one felt like a formality.
The Eagles game was nothing. There was nothing there. It was 7-7 at half. Do you even remember it?
Yeah, but I remember just being like, it's all a matter of time before they just win this game.
Eagles won. Okay, here's where the game got really interesting. And it could have turned on this series. And it was the Rams' first series of the fourth quarter. Okay, the Rams had just tied it 3-3 on that bomb by Zuerlein. Pats get the ball back, and on the first play of the fourth quarter, they have a 3rd and 4. Brady tries to jam it into White over the middle. It gets defended. Okay, was that Ndamukong Suh that was out there on him?
I don't remember.
Because that's who's credited on the play sheet. I thought it was a linebacker. But either way, the Pats miss the 3rd and 4 to White over the middle. Now it's 3-3. 3-3, and the Rams get the ball back. And, of course, they have to start inside their 10. Ryan Allen had a tremendous night.
He really did. He was awesome.
I thought your punter was better than their punter, and their punter is the best in the game. I thought Ryan Allen dropped it deep inside the 10 more than the other guy did. He had a better night. So Ryan Allen had a great game in terms of that. He had a couple sand wedges that checked up. Like,
awesome.
Oh, tremendous.
He did. And you could tell when he dropped the ball that he was trying to kill the ball down there, and he did.
Okay, so the Rams get the ball. It's 3-3. They get the ball at their own 7, and they start to drive. They start to drive. On the first play, C.J. Anderson goes for 9 yards. He took a swing pass on the sideline, juked, I want to say, Hightower, and gained 9 yards.
I remember it.
Okay? Now the Rams are 2nd and 1, and there was a good drive starter. That's when Goff goes offsides on the next play. So now you're 2nd and 6. And then C.J. Anderson takes a handoff around the left end and thinks that he's Deion Sanders and starts to do like this little high step move. Do you remember this? Where he was coming up on Stephon Gilmore and he put a little mustard on it. Like he was trying to, I don't know, hot dog it.
Is this when the ball got punched out?
And Gilmore pops the ball out and it's rolling on the ground and it just rolls out of bounds.
I thought that was Gilmore's best play of the game.
So if that thing doesn't roll out of bounds, Pats get the ball there, and we never have that long drive. Or, you know, that was, ooh, LA was that close to losing it right there. But they don't. They get the ball back, 3rd and 2. Goff rolls right, hits Cooks, and extends the drive.
Oh, I was so nervous at this point because that was 2 missed opportunities. That missed fumble that rolls out of bounds, and then the Hightower one he dropped in the beginning of the 3rd quarter.
Okay, but on this drive, you have that fumble. It rolls out of bounds. Rams catch a huge break there. And then they convert 3rd and 2, which they'd hardly done the entire game. And now they start to move. Okay? After Gurley loses a yard on the next play, they get to 3rd and 11. Okay, so they go minus 1 yard, then there's an incomplete, so then they have 3rd and 11. Incomplete, but on the other side of the formation, Stephon Gilmore gets called for holding. Clearly held. He held him up on the jersey up top of the shoulder pad. You didn't like the call, Mass?
I didn't, because I felt like they were letting that stuff go the whole game. This was my big complaint, is that I felt like they clearly were letting the defenses be physical and grab all game long, and then all of a sudden they get to 3rd and 11 and call that?
It felt ticky-tack to me, but who was that on?
Cooks.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks, and no guy can get those kind of calls like him. I was worried about that, and that was the one. It was like, oh, God, here it comes.
Okay, so it was the right call. He clearly held him. It was away from the play. So it was both the right call and a bailout because Goff was going to the other side of the field and he overshot the receiver and we not only even looked at Cooks on this play and they got the call, but it was the right call, I thought.
I hated that call.
So now the Rams, now they're moving. Okay, now they just convert a 3rd and 11 on a penalty. The very next play, deep in cut to Cooks for 16. Now they're at midfield. Next play, Gurley around left end for 13 yards. And now they're on your side of the field, but here's a flag. And they threw an offensive holding penalty on Sullivan, the center, that they did go back and replay. And let me tell you this, that call was a joke.
See, I didn't like that one either. I didn't like either one. I didn't like the Gilmore.
One, he actually held him.
Okay, but
go
again,
back and watch. They showed the replay. Go tell me and go show me what Sullivan did on that play.
Okay, and what I'm telling you, no. Listen, I thought the Sullivan call was horrid too. I thought it was a makeup call because they called the Gilmore call the first time and it had no bearing on the play.
Why should they have to make up a call that was actually a hold?
Because they weren't calling it all game. You telling me that kind of grabbing wasn't going on all night in a 13-3 game?
Probably was.
Oh, it definitely was. That's what irritated me is I felt like at this point, just quickly, because there was no offense in the game, that the officials looked up and said, well, we're going to have to start calling some penalties. These guys can't score.
So I'll tell you what, that was the sequence right there, because LA would have had 1st and 10 at the Patriots' 39-yard line, the Patriots' 40-yard line, whatever the math is. I can't
I think
do
it was
math.
The 44. It was a 23-yard swing.
Okay, so instead of having 1st down after a 13-yard gain by Gurley on your side of the field, they're 1st and 20 at their own 33. Okay? So, and then they never recovered. Then they, you know, on 3rd and 22, they handed off and punted away to you, and that's when you scored your touchdown drive. That sequence right in there. Golf false start. Anderson fumbles the ball. It rolls out of bounds. The Rams get it back. They convert 3rd and 2. The Rams get a penalty on 3rd and 11. 2 plays later, the refs make up call, I guess, because that was a joke on the center. That was a laughable call. on the center, but maybe they're just making it up for the ticky-tack call two plays before. And that whole swing right there, that was interesting.
They would have had it first and 10 on the 44, and they were on the Patriots 44, and they were on their own 33.
And that was it.
23-yard difference on that play.
Go back and watch it if you want, if you can. That poor center didn't do a damn thing. And it was a runaround left end. Like the guy that he was allegedly holding wasn't even on the play.
No, again, that's why I thought they were both bad calls, the two in there. I thought they were connected, but it was huge.
Okay, I want to get to one more thing. Do they need to start renaming some trophies? We'll address this after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We tried to correct some of the things that we did wrong. Obviously, the 15 penalties at Pittsburgh, it's, you're not going to win many games doing that. You know, we got some things straightened out there and played well in the next two games against Buffalo and the Jets, which enabled us to get into the playoffs and to get a bye in the first round. So these guys, they're competitors, and when things don't go well, they take it hard, but they have a resolve to come back and try to fix it and get it right and get it better. You know, so like that after the Tennessee game, was like that after the Detroit game, Jacksonville, Detroit. You know, we had a couple stretches like that where we really, none of us felt good about where we were, but we just kept grinding, kept plugging away, and things got better.
Belichick in the post game last night. Should they rename it the Belichick Trophy, Maz?
No, you don't name it after a guy who's still active in the middle of it. No.
No, it should always be the Lombardi Trophy.
When did they name the Lombardi Trophy the Lombardi Trophy?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, but to me, I don't know, I always have a hard time naming stuff after guys who are still in the middle of it. Like, now you want to tell me 10 years down the road, like, you know, or after Bill's gone on multiple levels?
Okay, fine. So, yes, at some point, should it be renamed?
There should be something named after Bill Belichick.
Agreed.
Yes. Yeah.
But the trophy is like, what are you going to do now? Take Lombardi's name off it in the middle of it? Like, I don't believe in that either.
Lombardi Belichick?
No. I hate co-MVPs, too, so I'm not going to have like a co-named trophy.
You want to hyphenate the trophy?
No, but there'll be something. I mean,
so what if the Coach of the Year award becomes the Belichick award?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Or I mean, I was thinking about this, too. The Super Bowl MVP award becomes the Brady award.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think
it doesn't have a name yet, right?
No, just the Super Bowl MVP. Should name it after Brady. They should do something. You know, and usually you might be surprised to hear me say that. But I'm just being fair. I mean, I just think they've changed the landscape of the sport.
And they are in that rarefied air where, like, you know, you get stuff named after you now. So, Belichick's won 8 Super Bowls.
The Lombardi Trophy became the Lombardi Trophy Super Bowl V. He died in 69. Was that Super Bowl III or IV? He only lived another couple of years after he won his second one.
Yeah, you should have to die first to get something named after you.
You should?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know that I even believe. I would say, though, you should have to be out of the game.
Yeah, okay, that I'll give you.
Like, yes. You know, I hated the whole David Ortiz streak and all that bull crap. I hated that.
Which one? Doesn't he have, like, 4 of them?
Okay, and again, and that's sort of even a different thing. But, like, you know, to me, Belichick deserves something. There's no two ways about it.
So
and so does Brady.
But a marquee trophy in your sport, you should have to be dead.
Okay, fine. We're not going to wish that on anyone, but just philosophically, should something be named after these guys? And to me, the answer is yes.
No question.
And whether that's, I don't know, you know, whether that you rename the league MVP award, the game MVP award, call it the Brady Award. I don't know if you mess with the Lombardi Trophy, but something somewhere.
At the very least, locally. I mean, I know they have to get naming rights for the stadium, but their name should be part of that stadium.
Oh, that ain't ever going to happen. Not unless they can match, you know, $50 million in naming rights a year.
Right, not unless Bill's son Steve wants to cough up the dough.
Right, no, that's not the way that works. But, I mean, I think their imprint is every bit now as important as Vince Lombardi's was, if not more so. I mean, so, and I the one thing against it is that no one's, you know, like there's no movement to do the Montana Trophy or the Walsh. And to that point, they hadn't quite matched the Packers. They were in the, you know, so I don't think there's ever been a movement to ever do anything like that before. And I you know, when we, meaning you people start chirping about it, something tells me it's not going to fall on very kind ears. I don't think people are going to want to hear from you on this topic. But I think you deserve it. I think they deserve it. I think Brady and Belichick deserve it. I really do.
I mean, look, I'm in favor of both. But if you made me pick one over the other, I'm picking the coach. And the reason I say that, I'm talking about the awards now, okay, is you got to factor in Belichick's time as an assistant. He's got 8 freaking rings. 8. That is just stupid. That is stupid. I'm sorry. 6 is a head coach. 2 others is a coordinator.
Is anything named after Auerbach?
I think there is something named after
the practice center.
No,
I'm not talking about that.
An NBA award.
NBA was.
Yeah, I'd have to check. I'd have to check, but I feel like there is. I'll look
that
up.
I'm just telling you, the thing that works against it, maybe it's unprecedented in that it's just not named. You just, not many sports name things after people like that. And let's talk about hockey, guys who played 80 years ago, the Ross Trophy, all that sort of crap. I don't know, but I just think their impact on the league and the sport is so massive and so unprecedented that they deserve something somewhere along the line.
The NBA Coach of the Year Award
is... The O'Brien Trophy. I'm sorry.
The Red Auerbach Trophy.
It is.
The NBA Coach of the Year Award receives the Red Auerbach Trophy. Yep. So, I mean, to me, now again, like you just said a little while ago...
They should call it the Auerbach Award.
Yeah.
Not the Auerbach Trophy. No one knows what the trophies are named.
Well, it's the Vince Lombardi Trophy, right?
This one they do know.
Yeah. Yes. So, but you said a little while ago, Belichick the Coach of the Year Trophy. The Coach of the Year Award should be the Bill Belichick Award.
It should be called the Bill Belichick Award, even though I think he's only won it 2 or 3 times. When I say only, like he's got 8 championships, but I only think, how many Coach of the Year has he won? I don't even know. It's only a couple.
Well, the Super Bowl MVP award is named. It's the Pete Rozelle Trophy.
It is the Pete Rozelle Trophy.
That's right.
See, I think naming the trophy is different than naming the award. The Tom Brady Award, the Bill Belichick Award, in hockey, the Hart Trophy. I can't remember who that's named after, but it's named after a guy. It's the Hart Award. He wins the Hart. He doesn't win the MVP.
I like the idea of the Bill Belichick Award for Coach of the Year.
Know what I'm saying? Okay.
I mean, there's never been a coach like this guy. Even Lombardi, whom I have tremendous respect for. Bill did it longer.
All right. Did you enjoy that take, Patriots fans? You had to have, at least a little. We'll get back to your thoughts right after these words.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
5 seconds frozen on the clock. The Patriots with a 13-3 lead over the Rams. Tom Brady, about to be a 6-time champion, takes the snap, drops to the knee. And the Patriots have won their 6th Super Bowl title. In the early 2000s, they won 3 of 4. Now they have won 3 of the last 5. Yes, it's still a dynasty.
6-time world champion. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. And they're still here. And I don't think they're done.
Final call from Soucy and Zolak yesterday and 98.5 the Sports Hub. As promised, right back to your phones. Thanks for waiting patiently. Mike in Orange. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, listen. That guy, we need a kicker because he makes me nervous. Goskowski, when he's standing there at the...
Yeah, we got to let you go. Okay, so if you're just catching up on the delay, we just had a caller who swore at Stephen Goskowski. I did find it interesting. Stunning, in fact. With a minute change to go, up 7. Fourth and an inch that they brought out Stephen Goskowski. Weren't you for sure that the Pats were going to go for that on 4th down?
Yes, and I called for him to go for it. You know what I'm saying? My opinion at that time was go for it. I trust the offensive line more than I trust the kicker. And I sort of actually went through that process of like, what do you do here? Because you make the field goal, the game's over.
And the decision seemingly took so long that I thought that wasn't going to benefit Goskowski when he went out there, because it's like, okay, it seemed like they were going to go for it because it was 4th and inches and then not. And then they put the field goal unit out there. I was like, oh, he's going to miss it again.
He almost did,
and
too.
He almost did.
Hey, he wasn't exactly Vinatieri against the Rams in
2002. No, it wasn't.
Like, that thing was right down the middle when Vinatieri won it. This thing just squeaked by.
So there was a whole sequence of them. In the first half, they had 4th and 1 at the end of the second quarter, could have kicked a field goal. They went for it on 4th and 1. This was the play they threw to Gronkowski over the middle, and it was covered. Then they get to the end of the game, and it's 4th and 1, chance to salt the game away, and this time they kick it. Except it wasn't 4th and 1, it was an inch. It was a flip. They got a good spot. And it was 4th and a flip an inch I can't believe they kicked it there.
I told you, just quickly, I mentioned this to you guys during the break. I don't know how many other fans saw it. Gostkowski went to kick off. Must have been after he made his field goal, or it could have been, I suppose, at the start of the second half. And he was sniffing smelling salts on the field. He held it to his nose, and I went, oh, my God. The kicker has to sniff smelling salts on the field Bowl?
To kick?
Like, I looked at that and went, holy crap, he's having a meltdown.
I wish I had some.
I was going to say, I could have used them last Tuesday, Murray.
Long week in Atlanta.
Jason in Hyde Park. Go ahead, Jason. What do you got?
Michael, hey, you know, it was short and sweet, but that last call actually started taking the words right out of my mouth. But onto that wet spaghetti noodle, Gostkowski. But in that series, I thought this is where McVay, he had a chance to actually stop the Patriots and give his team a last gasp. And I thought he choked it away with his decision. Mike, Sony Michel, handoff, he gets a run. Second and six at the LA 29 with 2:25 left. There's a penalty. So he has a choice. He has a choice whether just to save a matter of a few seconds.
No.
Second and six of the 29.
That was the right
versus
call.
Just let me get it out. Second and six of the 29 versus first and 20 at the 43, and the Patriots are going to be handing it off the whole time. So if you can gear up, you stuff them a couple times. Now the Patriots are at the 40.
I've stopped you. This is why you're wrong, because if you give them an extra down, then they can run the clock out. The issue there was the downs. So, yes, if you take those penalties, the Pats are, whatever, first and 20. But that gives them another down. And so that was the whole calculus right there.
No, in fact, they did the right thing.
He did the right thing in declining those penalties.
Yeah, Romo was all over it, too. Yeah. Romo was on it. And you know, because by that point, the Rams were out of timeouts. They were done. They couldn't stop the clock any other way.
So, right.
So they needed to burn the play.
Because every down you give the Patriots is an extra 40 seconds.
Correct.
So they had to decline those penalties.
It was their only shot.
We've got Chris and Raynham, our good buddy. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. As David Price said last fall, Patriots fans now have the trump card over you guys. When they're 1-2 in September and you guys are saying they're over, this team doesn't quite the same, that saying can never be said again.
Want to bet?
It didn't mean it. It clearly didn't mean anything that they weren't quite the same. It's different. This changes everything. You cannot say, if they start the season off slowly, you can't start saying they're done. You can't say it again.
Want to bet?
We can say whatever we want. It's our show. It's the Felger and Mass show. It's not the Chris and Raynham show.
And the other thing is, just because it went this way, is this now the model?
Well, so that is something that I'm frankly a little concerned about.
That's not sustainable. It worked, obviously, this year, but you can't do that. And why did he mention those games in September and not the two losses in December?
Well, so, I mean, what he's going to want is that you just can't say anything till it gets to the playoffs and we see if they flip the switch or not. Which is, I mean, I do wonder if they set that precedent. I'm not going to rule it out. I mean, if they've now proven to themselves that they can lay off the throttle, that they can put in less work in the offseason and sort of float through some regular season games and still win championships.
It's a dangerous game to play. 2015 proved that when they dicked around at the end of December and, you know, they end up losing the one seed.
Not only is it a dangerous game to play in reality, it also makes it far less interesting. I like it when every game matters. I want every game to matter. It's the NFL. There's only 16 of them. Every game should really matter. And every game is a huge factor in terms of home field and your seed. And don't you want to buy? And, like, all those things have to matter. That's what makes football so great, that week three in September is important. If it becomes unimportant, if the Patriots sort of prove they can just, whatever, slap it out there, flip a switch in December and win championships, it becomes a little less interesting to me.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, too, remember that they did catch a little luck at the end of the year, and I say little. Help is a better word. Luck's the wrong word. Had Houston won at Philadelphia at the end of the year, you'd have played wild card weekend.
So there's another. I mean, and is the AFC always going to be there to trip up on itself for you?
Maybe.
For you, you know, doing the one, you know, being the one team that just doesn't puke on itself and you waltz in because everybody else does something stupid? I just sort of hate those precedents.
So this might be a discussion for later in the week, but looking back at the whole thing now, do you think Belichick managed some of the workload in camp and at the beginning of the year because they were coming off three Super Bowls?
Yes.
Okay.
But I think he wanted to have a passing camp with his quarterback there to throw the football.
So no question. But again, now next year you're talking about a team that will be coming off of four Super Bowls in 5 years.
So just take it all off.
So you know what he does now? He gets rid of some of the old guys. You bring in some fresh blood. Because the quarterback is who he is, right? You're not going to mess with that. And I bet you Brady does show up to the camp. But in terms of managing Gronk, You're going to go through that whole thing again? No way.
So we'll see. We'll see if this sets some sort of precedent. And they've shown themselves that they can handle things differently. I would hate to think it's the case because I like the way they used to do it. No days off. I like that. Mike in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Mike. Mike, I'm going to put you on hold because you're not in a good zone. Steven Billrecker. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. I got to hear comments on the championship weekend with the four quarterbacks. The scenarios that could have played out between the young knocking off the old or the old knocking off the young or vice versa, and the fact that the olds could have picked off all the young and the young could have picked off all the
okay,
old.
Okay, you're kind of confusing me. Can I just reform the question like this? Would we have gotten a better game if that were New Orleans and Drew Brees?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, no question. I mean, a more entertaining game anyway. And so you'd have had more points, and it would have been a little bit more open than it was and all that. You'd have gotten a better game, no question about it.
Drew Brees is not going to be a deer in headlights like Jared Goff was at points last night. I mean, again, a false start on the quarterback. When do you ever see that?
That was unbelievable. That really was.
I still start with McVay. I do. I still start with McVay on that.
I know, but you just can't leave the quarterback out.
No, I'm not. I just don't think he was put in a position to succeed. I don't. I mean, look, I'm not saying it was perfect. The first Brandon Cooks end zone throw, meaning in the third quarter when Brandon Cooks and the Patriots busted coverage and Cooks is all alone in the middle of the end zone, and Goff goes to him late and then throws this wobbly ball duck. That was on Goff. That play was there.
And the ball was late and it was floated.
It was late and lobbed and brutal ball. Terrible throw. But I didn't see many of those. Like, I didn't look at that game and say, boy, he had him. Boy, he had him. Now, I'm not watching the All-22 and all that, but just in my viewing, it's not like I said, well, boy, he had plays there to be making. Guys were covered or there were Patriots rushers in his face. The Patriots undressed those L.A. coaches, I think. The offensive coaches. Wade Phillips had a decent day. Mike in Rhode Island, are you there?
I'm here. Sorry about that, guys.
Go ahead.
So I just want to talk about Aaron Donald. I feel like before this game, all I heard watching coverage was, Belichick's calling him the next Lawrence Taylor, the Hall of Famer. He's the highest paid player on the defensive front in the league. And all of a sudden, this game, he doesn't step up to the plate. No strip sack when they really needed it. Just wasn't no factor in the game. I want to hear you guys talk about that.
Yeah, I think he and Sue and that Rams defensive line were pretty good. I think they were. I think they kept him in the game. I think that's the whole reason this thing was a game. After you got out of the first couple rushes, you couldn't run the ball till late in the game. That kept the Rams in it. And Brady wasn't great. Why do you think he wasn't great? Because he had traffic in front of him. And it's not like they were pounding him mercilessly. They took one sack and hit him a couple times. But there were guys coming in. There were guys in his face. And that was Donald. That was Sue. That was Fowler. I think that Rams defensive line, it wasn't like the Giants in 07. I'm not telling you that. But I think the Rams defensive line was one of the reasons this was a game in the first place.
I mean, if you look at it in those terms, they held the Patriots to fewer points than the Giants did that year.
I mean, it's really
like, you know, I don't think anybody can bitch about the Rams defense.
Really?
I don't think anyone can bitch about it. Those guys are monsters. And you know what? Sue showed up.
And in the secondary, I thought Marcus Peters was awesome.
He was dynamite. He was dynamite. They put him on Hogan, and for whatever, he just completely took Hogan out of the game. And you know what? Nothing stupid. He was in on every play, every single time. Peters was one of their best guys in that game, for crying out loud.
He was.
And listen, the game plan was excellent. Like, honestly, I don't know that I've ever seen a team sort of at the snap show man and then switch to zone.
So, I don't know if it wasn't impeccable. I mean, they could have covered Julian Edelman.
Sure they could have. Yeah, at the same time, and I say this from a scoring perspective, I can only think of one play where Edelman really hurt them.
On the last touchdown drive?
No. It was a 25-yarder to set up the first field goal. You had a 25-yard gain. But on the touchdown drive, Gronk hurt him more than Edelman did. Gronk had two catches for 47 yards on that drive.
Yeah.
Like, I think, and maybe that's my Gronk bias coming through.
Because you had Gronk on the prop bet for the MVP.
I had a little money on it. It might have been a factor.
We continue an hour to go with your reaction to the Patriots' sixth Super Bowl championship.
It is. It's perverse, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just brutal. We continue with your thoughts. Did I say brutal? Right after a 90-second update, no commercials.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.